Now we read together in Mark's Gospel and chapter 8. Let's return to that passage and take up some very challenging words of Jesus this evening in verse 35 of Mark's Gospel, chapter 8. In verse 34 it says, Jesus called the crowd to him along with his disciples and he said, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." And then he says, "For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for me and for the gospel will save it." So these words in verse 35, the word "for" at the beginning of verse 35 tells us that he's explaining what he's just said in verse 34. That we must deny ourselves and take up the cross and follow Jesus. If we want to save our lives, we'll lose it. But if we lose our lives for Jesus and for the gospel, we'll save them. I read a very interesting piece from the BBC on the BBC website this week by one of their long-standing reporters, Mark Urban, in which he had gone back to visit some of the soldiers of a platoon he was embedded with in Iraq 10 years ago, and he wanted to see how those soldiers had fared after they'd finished being involved in the stress and the bloodshed and the loss of life that was all around them in the war in Iraq, and then come out of the army. How were they doing? And it turned out that the four men he tracked down were not doing well. There was a lot of alcoholism and even attempts at taking their own lives and breakdown of marriages and all sorts of things. However, one of the men recalled something that his sergeant had said to him while they were in Iraq. Not just to him, actually, but to the whole troop as he was addressing them, preparing them for their duties in the conflict. And he said this, he said to them, that they should consider themselves as though they were already dead. The statistics for how many survived were not great, but what he said was this: if you think of yourselves as men who are doing your tour of duty so that you can get home, he said, you'll be bad soldiers. But if you consider yourselves as men who are as good as dead, then you'll do your work well and you'll look after the people around you much better. Think about that. We've heard the same sort of things over the last few years in relation to the centenary of the various battles in the First World War, in the trenches, how men had to really sacrifice their lives in the face of the enemy fire coming out of the trenches. And if they were thinking about getting home, they didn't make good soldiers. If that's what they were thinking about, if they were thinking about saving their own lives, then they didn't look after the soldiers around them, and they didn't fight well. The best soldiers were the ones who thought of themselves as good as dead. It's quite a thing to think about that. But in a strange kind of way, Jesus is almost saying that here. Almost saying that about disciples. True disciples, says Jesus, are the ones who, verse 35, lose their lives for him and for the gospel. Not the ones who want to save their lives. If you're trying to save your life tonight and look after number one, you can't be a good disciple of Jesus Christ. But if you're willing to lose your life for him and for the gospel, then you can be. To be a disciple of Jesus means to take up the cross and to deny yourself. Now this saying that we find in verse 35 is not an isolated saying. In fact, it's one of those sayings that occurs in all four of the Gospels. Not in quite exactly the same terms, but pretty much the same words turn up twice in Matthew's Gospel. They turn up once here in Mark's Gospel. They turn up twice in Luke's Gospel. And they turn up once in John's Gospel as well. Which tells us that Jesus taught this often. It tells us that it was important to Jesus that his followers must understand that if they're going to follow him, then to follow Jesus means that we have to give up our ideas of what we want for life and instead submit to the life that he wants for us. Now you might think that Jesus is being dramatic here, or that he's only speaking about dramatic situations. But Jesus is speaking about the ordinary situations of life. Not just about the big situation, like last week we were thinking about Sebastian and his martyrdom. And situations in which Christians have to literally say, well, this is going to cost me my physical life to be faithful to Jesus. And Sebastian was a martyr. He was willing to pay that price. I mean, obviously it does speak about those situations. But it also speaks about just the small daily interactions that we have in life. Because if we're not faithful to Jesus, and if we don't die in the ordinary little details of our interactions with other people in life, we'll certainly not be prepared to die for Jesus, literally. Jesus himself died on a cross, but that wasn't the first time that he'd died. Jesus died every day. He died every day in the way that he chose to deny himself, what he would choose, what he would like to do, in order to serve the disciples, in order to serve the people around him, in order to be faithful to his Father. And it was in those daily conversations and daily actions of Jesus in which he took up his cross and followed the Father's footsteps, followed the Father's path laid out for him, that he prepared himself for the ultimate sacrifice of dying on the cross. Now, we don't know as Christians when we may be called to make much, much bigger sacrifices or face much, much bigger challenges than we usually face. Many years ago I told you about Cassie Bernal, the girl in the Columbine High School massacre, who, after she'd heard and seen the two boys rampaging through the school, shooting dead all the pupils, had a gun pointed at her head, and one of the boys said to her, "So do you believe in God?" Now, she hadn't got up that morning thinking, "Today I'm going to have to die for Jesus." But this Christian girl had at that moment to decide whether she was going to take up her cross or whether she was going to deny Jesus. And she said, "Yes, I do." And they shot her dead. Now, to be able to do that and say yes, you have to live daily for Jesus. To be able to face the big challenges and the big sacrifices, the big deaths, if you like, you have to be faithful in little ones. Jesus said that he who can be trusted with a very little, he said, this is Luke chapter 16, he who can be trusted with a very little can be trusted also with much. But he who is dishonest with a very little will be dishonest with much. So what Jesus is speaking here about verse 35, first of all, it's about ordinary life. It's not about really big, dramatic sacrifices, martyrdoms or whatever, although it does refer to that. It's about just the daily things, the small deaths that we have to face every day. The second thing is, it's about being decisive. When Peter heard Jesus speak in verse 31 about suffering and dying, being killed, Peter thought, that's beneath you, Jesus. You're the Messiah. You don't have to die on a cross. He says Peter took Jesus aside, began to rebuke Jesus. Imagine that. Peter, little Peter, rebuking the Lord of glory. But that's what he did. Maybe we rebuke Jesus in prayer sometimes too. We tell Jesus, I don't want you to do it like that, Lord. And what does Jesus do to Peter? Does Jesus gently say, no, Peter, you'll just hold on there, you'll learn. No, he doesn't. He is decisive. He says to Peter, I know who's behind you. I know who's motivating you to say this, to try and dissuade me from the path of faithfulness, to dissuade me from dying for your sins. Get behind me, Satan. And we too need to be decisive in our lives with the little voices that say to us things like, so you're a Christian, okay, but just, you know, don't get too keen. You don't have to change as a Christian. You don't have to be zealous or fanatical or anything. You know, just keep quiet about it. Just blend in. Just take the easy road. You know, among your neighbours and your family and the community. You know, just keep quiet. And to such voices, whether they're voices just in our own heads or voices of other people, get behind me, Satan. We need to be decisive with voices like that. You can't follow Jesus if your thought is, I don't need to change very much as a Christian. I don't need to get too keen or too involved or too excited or try too hard or be different. I just need to blend in. Voices like that are lies. Jesus said if we're going to follow him, then we can't want to save our lives. We have to be willing to lose our lives for him and for the gospel. So we need to be decisive about lying words like that. Third thing is, we need to show self-denial. Now it's easy, us in verse 32, to tell that Jesus is the Messiah among our friends, our Christian friends. Not verse 32, verse 29 actually, verse 29. Who do you say I am? You are the Christ, Peter says. So Jesus is there with the disciples. It's easy for Peter to say that there, even though it's a great breakthrough and it's a tremendous turning point in the experience of the disciples, for Peter to say that on behalf of them all and to recognize who Jesus is. But it's easy when you're among friends, easy at church, to be a Christian. Well, easier. But what about when we're among hostile people? This same Peter immediately after starts rebuking Jesus and saying, don't die on a cross. Don't let yourself be killed. Why is that? Well, really it's because, among other things, Peter himself is not willing to die. He's not ready to die. He's not willing to die for Jesus. And we know that because a few months later, when Jesus is being tried in Herod's Pilate's palace, Peter, kind of watching the scene from a distance, warming himself by a brazier in the palace courtyard, is confronted by various people, a servant girl. Aren't you one of Jesus' followers? Aren't you? You're a Galilean, aren't you? And it says Peter denies Jesus three times with curses and swears. Peter doesn't deny himself. He denies Jesus. He isn't willing to lose his life, as verse 35 says. He tries to save his life. He does the opposite of what a disciple should do. Now, tonight, you and I thank God that Jesus didn't do that. If Jesus had come into this world and thought, well, I'm going to do what God wants me to do. I'm going to follow the path my Father has for me, so long as it doesn't cost me anything. How far along the road of being our Saviour would he have got? He wouldn't even have taken the first step. Jesus is not talking about something he wants us to do which he hasn't done himself. The Lord took up his cross before any of us would have to do that. He took up his cross and literally carried it to the place of his execution on that cross. Self-denied in order to become our Saviour. We thank the Lord tonight that he didn't think to himself, right, now I'm in the world, what's the best thing for me? He thought, what do these people need? And he was willing to pay the price. So tonight, being a disciple means self-denial. What is it that you're holding back tonight from Jesus? What is it that other people need from you, but you're holding back from them? What are the spiritual needs around you that you could help to satisfy and provide for, but you're not doing that because you're not willing to deny yourself? Let's be like Jesus. Jesus didn't try to save his life. He lost his life for us and for the gospel, so that he could save our lives. But another thing is, this attitude is not for occasions. It's not for, you know, some really serious spiritual incidents that happen from time to time. It's daily. In Luke's version of this saying, he actually has the word daily. Take up your cross daily. Verse 34 saying, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily, Luke says, and follow me. So, daily means that when I get up in the morning, it would be very appropriate for me to pray. It's something like this: Lord, the day is ahead. You've called on me to give my life up for you and for the gospel today. So, Lord, please let me be ready to die today so that I can be ready to live for you today. The most free person is the person who is ready to die. The most free person is the person who doesn't hold on to life and isn't trying to keep everything the way they like it and for themselves. There's no freedom in that. Freedom is knowing that we have eternal life through Jesus Christ. And so we're not trying to hold on to this life, because the longer we hold on to this life anyway, the more we have misery. The next life's going to be far better. So why would we hold on to it? Well, of course, we love the people around us. We don't want to let them down and so on. We're not aiming for a martyr's death. But freedom is to be free of trying to hold on to life as though that's all you have. And maybe you're doing that tonight. Maybe you feel that this life is everything to you. And, well, that's why you would want to hold on to it if you do feel it's everything, because, well, you've got nothing else in that case if you lose it. But the Christian isn't like that. This life is, as Paul says, now we see as in a glass, as a mirror darkly. We're just in the shadows just now. The real life is the life that comes when we have laid down this body in the grave, and when we take it up again in the resurrection. That's life. That's life. Martin Luther King, at a civil rights rally in 1963, he said these striking words. Remember, this is Martin Luther King, who for many months before he was assassinated, the people around him said that he lived like a man who was completely surrendered to dying. He knew he was going to die. And he was totally and completely happy, not happy, but, you know, content before God to die in the cause of the freedom, the civil rights of black people. And he said this in 1963, "No man is free if he fears death. But the minute you conquer the fear of death, at that moment, you are free. I submit to you," he says, "that if a man hasn't discovered something that he will die for, he isn't fit to live." Think about that. If a man hasn't discovered something that he will die for, he isn't fit to live. And if there's anything that should be said of a Christian, it's this: we've found something that we're willing to die for. We're willing to die for Jesus. And if we're willing to die, as Martin Luther King says, we're fit to live for him. Let's think of some little examples of this that we might meet on our in our daily lives, for what this means. So, if I'm trying to save my life in verse 35, I'm someone who's thinking about my own comforts. You know, many people are thinking about how to increase their comfort all the time. That's what they do in the whole of their lives. They're just saying, how can I make it better for myself? How can I get my house better? How can I make my garden better? How can I have better clothes? How can I have a better car? Or how can I, you know, have a better television, or whatever it happens to be, a more comfortable bed, all sorts of things. We're just thinking all the time how to make life better for ourselves, saving our lives. You can't be a disciple of Jesus if that's all that's in your head. I mean, there's nothing wrong with me having a better bed, but if that's all your life's about. And the same if you're always concerned about your reputation. What do people think of me? You want always to make sure that you control what people think of you so that they're impressed or they like you. Or you can't be a disciple of Jesus if you think like that. If you're always trying to fit in and avoid trouble, you can't be a disciple of Jesus like that either. If you're trying to just merge into the background and, you know, not stick out in any way and not attract any attention, you can't follow Jesus in that way. So tomorrow morning, very concrete example. Tomorrow morning, let's say you're in a shop or you speak to your neighbour or you're walking the dog or whatever it is, and the neighbour says, "So what did you do at the weekend?" See what I mean? Now your choice is, do you die or do you live in that situation? That living might say, "Oh, nothing much. But the weather wasn't bad, was it? Or the weather was horrible, so didn't get up too much, just stayed in and watched the telly." That's you saving your life. But actually, giving up your life, as verse 35 says, losing your life would be to say, "Well, yeah, did this on Saturday and yesterday went to church." Now, your neighbour or whoever you bumped into might be a bit embarrassed about you saying that, because they might not want to have anything to do with church, but, and so they mark you down. You died. But then it may be important for you to just say, "Well, actually, when I went to church, I think God spoke to me about something in my life." Make it real. You never know, because the person that's asking this question, they might be the most spiritually thirsty, hungry, needy person. And that just might be the thing that turns things around for them. Verse 35, Jesus says, "Whoever loses his life for me and for the gospel." He'll be ready to tell the gospel. And Sometimes, again, this is a practical situation. Sometimes, you know, we don't tell the gospel to people, even though God gives us openings to tell the gospel to people. Even though that there's a point where we think, you know, they're just expressing their needs so clearly to me, the thing I should do at this moment is tell them about Jesus. But then you think to yourself, but I just make a mess of it. And so-and-so could do it far better, if only they were here. Do you know what that is? That's saving your life. Verse 35. That's not losing your life. Losing your life is saying, well, do you know, I'll probably make a mess of this. And maybe actually saying this to your friend, you know, I'm probably going to make a mess of what I'm about to try and tell you here. But listen, I think that what you really need is Jesus. You know, be prepared to make a mess. That's being prepared to die for the gospel, as Jesus says. To lose your life for the gospel. Be prepared. Don't think to yourself, I'm going to make a mess so I shouldn't do it. You know, better to make a mess telling the gospel than not to tell the gospel. You know, as it said, if a job's worth doing, it's worth doing badly. And the job of telling the gospel is worth doing, even if you do it badly. Because the key is the person seeing that you're telling it knows that, okay, they're maybe not very eloquent, or they're maybe not expressing themselves very well, but this is something that they know about. This is something that means something to them. And maybe I need this. And you know, sometimes, you know, people will just say things, and we get the chance. People, you know, maybe sort of get defensive, say, I'm a good person. I don't think I've done anything wrong. And, you know, I haven't offended anyone. I'm a good neighbour, and I haven't killed anyone. And, I look after my dog or whatever. And people, you know, they're just inviting us almost to say, but where does it say that you're fine with God if you look after your dog? And where does it say you're fine with God because you haven't killed anyone? Where does it say you're fine with God because you think you're a good person? Why does it say all the time in the Bible that Jesus Christ died for sinners? Why did Jesus die at all if all you need to be is a good person? You didn't need to die if being good was all that's needed. He died because you're not good. You know, people need to hear that, but you telling them might be your death. It might be very hard for you to do so. I had a conversation like that this afternoon. I could have talked and just done, the kind of small talk thing, but I just had to take the bull with the horns and speak to someone directly. Where did they stand with God? And I just pray and hope that that'll be a help to that person. But I died doing it because I'd much rather have talked about the weather. It's much easier. It is really a lot easier. But Jesus says, you know, He saw our need, so He was willing to die. We see the need of the people around us. We believe they're going to lost eternity if they don't have Jesus. So we've got to die so that they can live. And just coming to a close here, verse 35 contains a warning and a promise. The warning is if we want to save our lives, if we're always trying to look after ourselves, we'll lose them. And I don't think that's just it won't go well for you in life, sort of thing. I think that's an eternal thing. And Jesus is saying there that if someone is all about themselves, not only are they not his disciple, but they'll be lost forever. And in verse 35, the promise, whoever loses his life for me and for the gospel will save it. He's saying there that there's eternal life. If you're prepared even to give up your physical life in this world for Jesus and for the gospel, if you live as a soldier of Jesus who's in your own mind as good as dead, you'll be a good soldier, but also you'll have eternal life. You'll be a good soldier because you won't always be trying to look after yourself. You'll be looking after what your commanding officer, your commanding officer Jesus wants. And you'll have eternal life. Jim Elliot, Through Gates of Splendor, the book. Yeah. Jim Elliot, missionary to the Oka Indians in South America. Gave his life, and his friends as well gave their lives trying to bring the gospel to those Indians. And he wrote in his journal very well-known words, "He is no fool who gives what he can't keep to gain what he can't lose. He is no fool who gives what he can't keep to gain what he can't lose." And we can't keep our lives. We can't keep them. You can't preserve your life in some sort of special atmosphere or some sort of special formula. There isn't a cosmetic, there isn't a beauty cream, there isn't a diet, there's nothing that can keep your life. Nothing can preserve your life. So he is no fool who gives what he can't keep, his life, to gain what he can't lose. That is eternal life for us and also for others. So Jesus is saying to us tonight, I showed you my love by dying for you. How are you showing your love to me? I showed you my love by dying for you. How are you showing your love to me?